Right now, it is John Lazor, the man who will be calling that game here on Fox Sports 910. He's brought to you by Cowan Gates, 11 attorneys on staff there for you in any case. We got a lot to talk about with Tennessee, but let me just step back a couple days ago. Your biggest takeaway from the debut of Justin Fuente and these Hokies.
Well, let me get to that in just a second, Wes. First of all, good morning. Second of all, I want to say something about that Bud Foster soundbite that you played. For anybody who thinks the Hokies might be stressed heading into this battle at Bristol, he walked into that press conference chomping down a popsicle, and he said, if you would all excuse me, I'm going to finish my popsicle because it's the first time I've had an opportunity to have one today. And the first question was actually not about the big game. It was about what flavor that popsicle was, and it turned out to be lemonade, I guess. That seems to be the mood, though, coming off that win against Liberty, and I think the Hokies were happy with their performance. They weren't amazed with their performance. I think that can be an accurate reflection of what the Hokies showcased, and they didn't go all the way into the playbook. Gerard Evans made a comment last night about all the new plays that they've installed just this week for Tennessee and the fact that they're ramping up the playbook a notch. So I think you kind of got that coming to fruition at Lane Stadium on Saturday, and the fact that you were able to do enough positive teams to beat a team that you should definitely beat, do so relatively handily, although it certainly wasn't lighting up the scoreboard by any means. The tempo, I thought at times, looked very crisp. I thought at times Gerard Evans tried to do too much. I thought at times everything was thrown off a bit by the fact that you were cycling personnel. And again, I know it's cliche, but at the end of that game, you looked around and said, well, that felt a lot like a first game of the season, and in this case, the first game of a new program and a new staff.
You touched on Evans there. What stood out to you about the quarterback making, I guess, what was his FBS debut?
I liked his ability in the passing game. I really did because, again, through camp, you don't see a ton of that. In 7-on-7s, you see a lot of wide-open guys, and he's able to hit that, and he doesn't have to throw it to spots. He can just throw it to quadrants, and guys can run the football down, and certainly the Hokies have enough talent to do that. And he did miss some throws in that game, namely a couple of times he had Isaiah Ford open across the middle. I thought that would have turned into big games. But I liked his physical ability and how that translated to the passing game, Wes, and I say that with the reverse rollout to the left side. I thought he threw across his body, although ill-advised a couple of times. You see his ability to do that and really zing the football. I called them flicks, I think, on the broadcast, where he just kind of flicks it up into the air 30, 40 yards, and he's got a quick release, so I liked that. Those were the things I liked. Obviously, his ability to create in the run game. He had a 37-yard run that set up the Hokies with first and goal before Ford's 5-yard touchdown there in the second quarter, and that was an excellent vision play on his part. And then again, the two plays where he turned the football over and some of the other plays that you didn't like from Gerard Evans, it was simply trying to do too much. And the one you could see coming on the option pitch there in the second half, and I got Justin Fuente all kinds of fired up again the other night during a break at Tech Talk Live. I asked him about it, and he was fuming again just because it was a mental mistake more than a physical one. So those you hope you can clean up, but I thought on a physical level he translated very well to FBS, and he doesn't seem to be all that concerned about that jump.
All right, let's flip it. Let's jump to this week. It is Tennessee. The competition obviously steps up as you're sitting there picking Coach Fuente's brain the other night. What concerns him most about this Vols team, who we saw underwhelm in their debut on Thursday night?
He's an offensive-minded guy, Wes, and that's no secret. So I think his biggest concern is the defense of Tennessee and how that speed and physicality is going to translate to what his guys saw in the opener against Liberty. And, yes, you were able to get some contributions from some second-tier guys on your depth chart against an FCS opponent. But are you going to be able, and I mean as a staff, are you going to be able to go to those guys recognizing that you can't go to Isaiah Ford every play and he's got a heck of a matchup with Cameron Sutton? You're more than likely going to face more pressure, and you're going to have to use that breakdown play a little bit. But I think that what he and his staff were the most happy about coming out of Liberty was the fact that they didn't really have to showcase anything that they didn't want to, and I think they've got a lot up their sleeve for Tennessee coming in this week. The one thing that I thought he said that I really liked was, we want to make the Volunteers defend a college offense. And what he meant by that was, and what he went on to elaborate was, he wants them to defend vertical, he wants them to defend lateral in terms of the passing game, but in the run game he wants them to defend between the tackles. He wants them to defend a triple option. He wants them to defend a read option. He wants them to defend screen passes. He wants them to defend anything you can throw at him, and that led me to believe that that's exactly what the Hokies are planning to do because they think they need to do it. Going back to your question, that's a concern. I think they recognize that this Tennessee defense is very capable of, if not getting you completely shut down, certainly pushing you off stride.
Yeah, and going back to last Thursday night, I guess that's what maybe was so surprising about how Appalachian State stayed in that game, because if you didn't watch, that there was no fluke there. I mean, they straight went up like toe-to-toe, mano-a-mano, and jacked up the Volunteers many times to line of scrimmage, and you're not going to see that.
Yeah, let me cut you off there, Wes. I thought that was more on the defensive side and their ability to do that against their offensive line. I thought that Tennessee defense actually, for three quarters of that football game, pretty much had their way.
Still, the fact that they hung at the line of scrimmage for as long as they did, you don't usually see things break down and weather down in a game like that. And the Volunteers needed luck to win that game. With that said, though, to go into the Hokies running game, I'm one of those people who know that you don't show everything week one, especially against an FCS opponent. But how does this, looking ahead, I know a lot of questions about Trayvon McMillan, only 13 carries in that game. You got Sam Rogers, you got different guys in the backfield. The ball was spread in different places. Do you have any thoughts about what we could see from that running back position? And because this offense is diverse and there's so many guys that they want to use in the mix?
You're going to continue to see those two guys that you mentioned, Wes. Sam Rogers didn't feel like he had a great game. I know Justin Fuente didn't feel like the interior of the line had a great game, and I know people are screaming at the radios, well, where's Wyatt Teller then if that's the case? And I know that's the question that we've been fielding throughout the week here, and it's a valid one because Wyatt came in later and certainly showed that push that we're used to seeing from him, and I think you may see him rotated a bit more with Colt Pettit this week, which potentially could help the interior run game. But that's, I think, about the count level you're looking at. Trayvon McMillan, potentially in a different style of game, that may increase or decrease depending on what the Hokies are given and what they're able to take. But you're going to see plenty of him. You're going to see plenty of Sam Rogers. You're going to see a lot of Deshaun McLeese. And I'm personally hopeful that you're going to see Shy McKenzie because I thought he showed the best burst of anybody, quite honestly, in that football game. Granted, it was late, but I thought his first and second steps were exceptional. But you're going to continue to see a lot of that sweep action and a lot of that lateral action. And I just don't know how much you're going to see of the traditional tailback lined up and taking it and going off tackle or going off the guard. And I don't know that that's something that we're ever going to see under a Fuente offense, regardless of what the personnel is. And you're not going to see 10 guys carry the ball, I wouldn't think, at Battle of Bristol like you did against Liberty. But you're definitely going to see 6-7 or so each and every week.
You've been down there a couple times to take a look at things, and I know you've done your sight lines. What stands out? Like, when people roll in on Saturday night, what's going to blow them away, Lays?
I think just the sheer size of the place, to be honest with you. And we were talking about this the other day because we've all seen the social media posts about Colossus and the perimeters of that and the fact that it's three stories tall. Colossus is the video board that they've essentially strung over top of the facility and how small it looks when you're in there because of the sheer massive nature of the stadium. But I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised, actually, Wes, with the sight lines, particularly between the goal lines, maybe a bit of a struggle in the end zones just due to the fact that the field doesn't take up the length of the infield. But, yeah, it's going to be a spectacle for sure. And I know Mikey Burnup's a little bit concerned about it, so he might be going binocular shopping on the way down, too.
Okay. How about concern on the field? Who or what concerns you the most about the Tennessee Vols?
Well, and I know it's the obvious answer, but it's Josh Dobbs, because I think coming off of his performance against Appalachian State, and again, his line didn't do him any favors, as you were referencing in the last segment, but I think he comes out and has a strong game in this game, and I think sometimes the aggressiveness of the Hokies will lend itself to that. So when you look at him and what he has in terms of Jalen Hurd and Josh Malone, we saw him get a long one against Appalachian State last week. He has the playmakers around him, so I'm just a little bit concerned to see what that game plan is in terms of the aggressive nature the Hokies plan to bring defensively, recognizing who Dobbs has to hurt you with offensively, both in the backfield and on the perimeter. But it definitely starts with him. So I'm not saying that I think he's going to gouge the Hokies, but if someone does, I'm fairly certain that it will be him. So that's the name that stands off. And obviously I'm looking forward to that matchup between Isaiah Ford and Cameron Sutton on the other side as well.
6:30, it all begins. Lays, Mike Burnup, Andrew Allegretta, Willie Byrne, the whole crew right here on Fox Sports 910. Let's do a little lightning round. I'll start off today. Five questions for John Lazor, five questions for me from John Lazor. Game one for the Hokies. Who gets the John Lazor attaboy for a good performance?
Well, if it's Isaiah Ford, if it's me, but if you're talking to wide receivers coach Holman Wiggins, he said, I'd like to see much, much more from Isaiah Ford. I thought he left at least four or five catches on the field. We need more effort. I guess that's what 11 catches for 117 yards gets you. But he's the Hokies' brightest star, and I'm looking for him to shine again this week. Next. I was on overload by yesterday morning, after watching Florida State West. Too much for college football's opening weekend, or just the right amount for you?
I think it was just the right amount. It's like they said in Seinfeld, leave him wanting more, Jerry. Leave him wanting more. I was left wanting more. I look forward to week two. Next. As you know, my wife is a Tennessee grad. If they win, she'll be insufferable. If they lose, she'll be insufferable. I'm curious, have you ever...
Wow.
Got in a fight, broke up, or not dated a girl because of any sports allegiance?
I haven't broke up. I have gotten in a fight at the end of the Vikings-Pittsburgh Steelers game. I think back in 2009 when Brett Favre was there and he threw a late interception for a touchdown that cemented the game. I'm not proud of this, but I took a swing with my right arm at a bar stool in an apartment and sent it kind of skittering across the apartment, and that apparently wasn't appropriate behavior. And I haven't been nearly as much of a Vikings fan since because we haven't been back to those circles. Next. Nebraska West intentionally took a penalty to honor punter Sam Fultz. Oh. What's the most heartwarming sports tribute you've ever seen?
That was pretty emotional, man. To see both teams get involved in it, I thought it was a classy move by both sides. Most... emotional. I still go back. I know you remember him. Jerome Brown played for the Miami Hurricanes, played for the Eagles. When he was killed in a car accident, as the Eagles left his gravesite, he had a running joke about never wanting to wear a tie. Him and Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan almost kicked him off the plane a couple times. When the Eagles walked by the casket, Reggie White took off his tie and put it on the casket for Jerome. And then every single Eagles player afterward did it. And it was an inside joke, but a tribute. It was pretty amazing. So I'm going to go with that one. All right. Let's see here, Lays. Man, I got to figure a good one. Oh, here we go. Reaction to Sam Bradford being your Vikings' new quarterback.
Well, I mean, it somewhat comes on the heels of your reaction to Teddy Bridgewater going down and really taking the air out of that balloon that I think had gotten a bit overinflated, quite frankly, in the preseason. The Vikings were becoming that Bengals-like pick of, oh, look how much talent they've assembled on the defensive side of the ball, and not surprising with Mike Zimmer as their head coach. So they got knocked down a peg, and hey, he's a serviceable quarterback. I don't think you need a world beater in that offense and when you carry that defense. So I'm just happy that you have somebody back there that has a little bit of experience who's not named Sean Hill, my old poker-playing buddies from my intern days at KFan back in the early 2000s. Next.
Playoff team or not?
Oh, yeah.
All right. One more.
Will carry you there. All right. Over under, two-part question. Over under, how many hours it'll take us to set up the gear at Bristol? 10 hours. And over under, how many times I giggle in the presence of Kirk Herbstreit? 3.
You're efficient. I'm going to go under on the hours it takes you to set up the gear, and I'm going to go over on the giggling of Kirk Herbstreit because, let's face it, he's a pretty
It's man. Already happened once this morning, just seeing him on television.
Lays, have a great call. I'll be listening to you Saturday.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you next week.
It's John Lazer, the voice of the Hokies, brought to you by Cowan Gates.